You're listening to Pastor Bill Surjack.
Hear now the word of God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" Thank God that he has not left us alone to know what he is like, that he's revealed himself in the way that we can understand by becoming a man in the person of Christ, and that that revelation is accurately tamed for us. And this is holy word. I think it was around the middle of April or first part of May, that Sandy and I decided to cut off the satellite feed of our television. We haven't really been watching any television since then. We still have the televisions there, but we use it once in a while on a DVD or play a video on TV. But I really haven't watched any regular TV programming for 6 or 7 months. Well, actually, there were 3 shows that I saw during that time. One of the time when I was working out over at the rec center, CNN News was on, and they were giving the report of the Hurricane Katrina disaster in the New Orleans area. Now, one of the things that they were emphasizing in that news show was the snipers were shooting at the rescue workers that were coming. I found out later on that that was really a rumor that the news reported as true, and it was kind of interesting that in the one time I watched the news in the last 7 months on television, it turned out to be something that really wasn't true. That didn't really encourage me to want to watch it any more than reading the news. That seems just fine with me. Other time I watched one of the Braves games with a friend in the church, and they lost that game. So that wasn't that much more encouraging, although I enjoyed watching the game with a friend. And that was the extent of my TV watching for the last 6 or 7 months. One thing I thought I would miss would be the sports broadcast, because I do like sports and I'm a sports fan. But I found out that really I haven't missed that all that much. I read the recap on the internet of various games, and that usually is good enough for me, or I get a Sports Illustrated that my daughter gave me for a gift, and so I read that, and that's pretty good. One of the things that sort of surprised me about not having TV for a while is that I don't really miss it as far as sports goes, and I really found that I don't miss it very much at all. I do find that there's one other area that has been kind of unusual for me, and that is that I've probably become more disillusioned since I've not been watching TV for a while. One time I heard a person say, to be Christian is to be disillusioned. And really the way we operate a lot in our lives is with illusions of the way we think things really are. We build a lot more of our life on illusions than we think. Having not watched television for a while, I have become more disillusioned. I don't see as many of the illusions that are created in our world, and I have to deal more with the people who are really there. I thought it was kind of funny several years ago when an older couple in our church in Florida invited us to their home for Thanksgiving. We had Thanksgiving dinner with them, and they invited a couple of their neighbors in, too, for the Thanksgiving dinner. It was a Thursday afternoon, and the soap operas were also on at that time on the afternoon, and the soap opera was having a Thanksgiving dinner while we were sitting there having our Thanksgiving dinner, and they had the soap opera on, and then one of the couples that were there said, "Oh," and they gave a name, "somebody has come to Thanksgiving dinner." So I started to get up to welcome the new person who was coming to the door, not realizing that the person who was coming for Thanksgiving dinner was on the soap opera. And somehow the people on the soap opera seemed a little more real to them than the people who were there in the room. It probably was, because they were probably there more often. You know, I thought that was kind of funny for them, but I realized when I've been without television for a while, a lot of the same thing is true for me too. I tend to have an idea of an illusion of what people are like. And a lot of it comes from television, I think. I was interested that a man did a survey who was at the University of North Carolina, the religious thinking of teenagers. And one of the things that he found out is that teenagers' religious beliefs were remarkably alike. It really didn't matter that much whether they were Presbyterian or Episcopalians or Baptist or Muslims. The religious beliefs were a lot alike. They tended to believe that God was there and that God existed mainly as kind of a cosmic therapist to help you with your problems. And then he would kind of go away after he helps you. Or he would be sort of like a butler who would get you the things that you want and then go away. Heaven existed, and basically good people went to heaven and almost everybody was good. And he wondered where the kids got these heretical beliefs. And he found out that most of it came from their parents, because that really is the way a lot of people believe today. And that's a total illusion. And I think it's an illusion that is perpetuated a lot by television, because we watch it and we tend to think that those people are real, that that is what people are really like. They really are that good-looking. They really are that well-mannered. They really are that well-dressed. And, you know, even the people who are reading the news to us and we hear all these terrible things that they're reading about in the news, they still look real good and are real well-dressed while they're reading it. And somehow we think of them as more real than the people that they're reporting about. Because when someone actually does one of the things like they're reporting about, we usually say, gee, I didn't know that happened in real life. I didn't know it really happened with people that I knew. And really, television helps to perpetuate a bit of an illusion in our lives. Part of that illusion is that people are basically good, and we can hide behind that illusion. Much like Adam and Eve hid when they did not do what God had told them to do. Now, Eve was very bright at being able to point it out to Satan when he said, why can't you eat of the tree in the middle of the garden? One of the first things she said, well, God has given us all these other things. All these other places that we can't eat of. He has only said that we can't eat of that tree. And it wasn't a lack of provision that made Adam and Eve eat of that tree. It was a matter of autonomy, that they wanted to be able to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to be able to create their own ideas, what's good and what's bad, rather than to accept God's idea. And when they first started with that, and when they first did that, one of the things that they did was to hide. We don't usually hide today from God behind fig leaves or behind trees in the garden. We hide behind illusions. Illusions of the way we think things are, or the way we think things will be. Illusions can sometimes be shattered. I think probably one of the things that has happened to me since I've stopped watching television is that I'm more inclined to believe in the sinfulness of all mankind. I think before I kept a little bit more of an idea of the illusion that people really were basically all right. Now I look at people and you watch people in Walmart at 10 o'clock at night screaming at their kids. Before, I think I would sort of walk right past them and not really look at them with the idea of thinking, well, I'll go home and watch a rerun on television of Law and Order or something, and everything will come out all right at the end of the show. But now it's, you have to deal with the people who are really there. And some people that are really there are not very nice. They have come out not being particularly nice at all. There are other people who are very nice. They hidden behind an illusion of real niceness. They have built that up very well in their lives. A reminder of that a little bit this past week, when someone asked me if something was Christian or if I was behaving in a Christian way. As I thought about that, I realized that he was thinking in terms of Christianity and niceness are the same thing. So to be nice is to be Christian is to be nice. And I realized that's not true. Some Christians are nice and some Christians aren't nice. Probably once in a while I'm one of the nice ones. A lot of times I'm one of the ones who's not so nice. Niceness is not a sign of the Christian faith. It's whether or not you walk with God that is a sign of the Christian faith. Whether or not He is with you as you go about your daily lives. One of the things that I've noticed is that the people I see, some of the nice ones and some of the not so nice ones, very few seem to give the appearance of walking with God. It seems like they're almost all totally living an autonomous life, living the way they want to live. And one of the ways that they might want to live is being nice, and another way that they might want to live is not being so nice. Both of those ways are without God. There was a time when Jesus taught about His return, when He would come back again, and He compared it to the time of Noah's time. What was happening is that the world had gotten so bad, so far away from God, that it was time for the Lord to return, just like what happened in Noah's time. And sometimes you wonder, what were those people doing in Noah's time that were so bad that God caused the flood to destroy the whole world? Fortunately, Jesus tells us in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, you might want to cover children's ears or something like that so that they wouldn't find out about these terrible things that people were doing in Noah's time and will be doing just before the Lord returns. But here's what Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, people were, now listen to what they were doing. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Look at those terrible things that people were doing. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. And I said, well, we do the same thing right now. What's so bad about that? Well, I think the implication was that they were doing all of those things without God. They had no inclination whatsoever of what God might want them to do in the middle of that. And everybody was that way. They were hiding behind the illusions of what they were doing that somehow seemed more important than God. And their illusions were shattered when the rain started falling. And there's a day coming when all of our illusions will be shattered. Instead of looking at God or hiding from God through the various illusions that we put up in front of us, suddenly we will see Him face to face. Now, that's going to happen to all of us, not a certain percentage of us, all of us. One person in four will get cancer. That's just statistics. One person out of one will die. All of us will come face to face with God in one way or another, either at the time of our death or at His return, if we happen to be alive when He returns. And all the illusions will be shattered. And we will all begin with the same feeling when we see God. We will be utterly terrified. You look face to face with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You don't come there to make deals. Or you don't come before Him with your savvy or with your intelligence or your ability to deal with Him. There is only one way to face God. And that's in utter terror. That's where it all begins. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you aren't afraid, if you don't get to the point of being afraid of God, you're probably hiding behind an illusion. But when the illusions are shattered, suddenly you're going to be face to face with God. And He's going to wonder why you spent all the time doing the stuff you did. And why you spent most of your life ignoring Him. He's going to be calling out to you, Adam, where are you? And you'll begin with fear. And those who have come to know God during this life will start to change the fear. And they'll begin to get to the point where they start realizing that this is the God that they have known for quite some time. And this is the God who has forgiven them. And this is the God who loves them. And they have received God's love and forgiveness. And all of a sudden, the idea of being forgiven will take on a deep and a powerful and a loving meaning, because you'll know what it is like. And then there will be others who've not received that and didn't know that and didn't know the Lord and will spend the rest of the eternity terrified, from one level of being terrified to another level of being terrified. And you will spend all eternity that way. Those are basically the way it's going to end up when all the illusions are shattered and we finally deal with God face to face. And right now, God is dealing with us, just like he dealt with Adam. Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was, but God wanted Adam to see where he was. And God does the same thing with each one of us. He calls us by name. He says, Adam, where are you? Bill, where are you? Come to know me. Come to receive my love and forgiveness right now. Begin to put aside the illusions and start dealing with the reality of God.